both of them should be treated. Hey, if you think he was on the gas, no matter what it is, then he should be penalized. But he's mentally disrespecting them. Like, he's mentally saying, dude, gonna get tired. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about you. I'm gonna go outside. And yeah, you're gonna catch me, but I'm not worried about you. Where Chase's bike is hitting those same bumps and it's lifting up. So as it's lifting up, what does that mean? It's not on the ground driving forward. So for him, he's losing all that time going out of the corners. It's not driving forward. Jet's bike's driving forward.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to You,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He'll win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy Jazz. And you know where we at. We at the Rewind, baby. We had a couple weekends off. Now we're in the first round of motocross from Paula, California, where we got to see the number one of Jet Lawrence try to continue that streak. We saw number four, Chase Sexton. It wasn't Ricky Carmichael. It was Chase Sexton try to handle him. We saw Hunter Lawrence go after his brother. We saw a lot of things. And we saw the guys fall into the danger zone this weekend. Levi Kitchen, would he leave the door open or would he come in kicking like Joe Shimoto from the Far East Coast? He ain't gonna be kicking much. He had a hard leg. But first round of motocross, you know what time it is. So we're gonna go ahead and do it. So Paula, California, round one, AMA Motocross, let's do it. So the first round of motocross is always difficult for these guys. You're going out for supercross and it's a huge change for them. Not only just the format of the longer races, but a lot of things that you probably wouldn't even think about, like vision, you know, arms, you know, just dealing with the high speed that you get used to riding for 6 months in supercross preparing. And then all of a sudden you end up going fast. You can tell the guys that's probably a little bit more comfortable on it because they've been more testing and doing, you know, doing their thing, but it's a big change for them. And Paula, you never really know how it's going to be. It's going to be super deep, how they change the track. Even though the guys have a chance to ride on it, a lot of them test there during the week. It's open all year long until right before the season. So you think they have a pretty good idea of what it is. But when you get on the race day and with the track not being deep, actually help these guys, you know, ease into this thing compared to if it was super deep. The weather was pretty nice, so it was nice and cool. So they didn't have to worry about the conditions too much as far as the endurance wise. But overall, I thought the track looked pretty good. It was rough enough to where it was a real motocross track, but it wasn't super rough to where it was dangerous out there. And I thought the track layout was better this year than last. I know guys talked about it was a little bit more high speed, but overall, I think they were pretty stoked on it, and it was a good day of racing.
We still got to work on a few things with the bike. Didn't feel quite comfortable. Couldn't go as fast as I wanted to.
So coming into this race, we all knew it was up. Jet Lawrence. Last time he raced, he went undefeated. It was 22-0. So would that streak continue? And that was kind of our main talking point was, look, there was no reason to think that it wouldn't. The kid's been dominant. He was able to win that Supercross title. And considering that Chase Sexton was changing teams, Hunter Lawrence was coming up, and this would be his first 450 race, you would think that it was up to Jet and everyone else to try to stop him from going 23-0, 24-0. Well, going into this weekend, nothing changed. Jet Lawrence was feeling pretty comfortable. But what I saw from Chase Sexton and even Hunter Lawrence, I saw a few videos from Chase. He looked pretty good. Hunter Lawrence, I already knew he was going to be pretty good. We just got to see how comfortable he was. So first moto, gate drops. Chase Sexton's in the back of the pack. Hunter Lawrence is up there. Jet Lawrence is up there. And it looked like for them, it was just going to be everyday practice. We had Aaron Plessinger up there in the mix, but Jet looked comfortable. And it was kind of the same thing we saw last year. If you let Jet out front, you get a couple laps, then he gets calm, and then he just rides away from you. And that was pretty much what happened. Hunter Lawrence got stuck behind Aaron Plessinger, which had a good pace. And overall, there's really nothing changed. I saw the difference between me and the reason I liked the Hunter Lawrence is because if you look at his body position, I saw a rider that looked really comfortable. And I know as the year goes on, just like Supercross, he'll get better. He's the type, like I said before, when you're finishing eating dessert, he might still be on the salad, you know, but he'll eventually get there. Well, I saw his body language and he looked more comfortable outside than he did in Supercross. And truthfully, he looked more comfortable on the motorcycle than Jet. And I think the difference is that it was his first race and Jet's 23rd race in the 450 class. But overall, Hunter Lawrence looked pretty good. Chase Sexton, we saw the last few weeks been going. Like, he's been getting better. He was getting better at the end of the Supercross. What happened at Salt Lake? He qualifies first time all year. Then he ends up winning the heat race, and then he wins the main event. Well, he comes into Paula. He looked pretty good on the videos. He goes out, and he's the fastest in practice. Second practice, Jet Lawrence ends up getting him. But what we were seeing happen, and I think Jet realized this as well, is that this dude's starting to get confidence. And Jet put in a hot lap where it looked like, I mean, he was letting it hang out. He was trying to send a message because he knew that Chase Sexton, everything's starting to go the right way for him. And if he starts believing, his bike looked pretty good. If he starts believing, then he's going to be a problem. And you saw what Jet was doing that second practice. Like, he was trying to stop that because the kid's aware of the situations. He knows what he needs to do. So Jet gets him in practice, but still coming in, you knew Chase felt pretty good. He looked pretty good. He gets a bad start, and then he goes down. He runs in the back of Dylan Ferrandez. Not the way you want to start. I was saying on the broadcast that it actually could be a good thing because what was going to happen if Chase, where he started at, since Jet was out front and he was like seventh or eighth, it was going to be unlikely that he was going to be able to get around all those guys and then be able to catch Jet. Now, hindsight, the way he rode the second moto, maybe he'd had it, but just from past history, I was thinking, well, I mean, that was kind of a shot. He needs to be in front of Jet because Jet's going to be calm. By the time Chase gets there, then he's going to be warmed up. He's going to have to catch that gap, and it might be a problem. So since he went down, it was almost one of those, I would say, not being funny, but it was a tuck the front end situation. Tuck the front end. Look, you didn't get a good start. You make your way up to the pack, and then you get up close to Jet, and he beats you. Same thing as last year. But since you went down, that part's done. Now you can have a chance to ride that motorcycle, get that first moto out of the way, and get your confidence up. Well, Chase did that, but he went down again. So he had two crashes, a bad start at first moto, and then made his way up to fourth place. But his riding was good. He ended up running down Justin Cooper at the end and making his way up to fourth. I think that was actually helped Chase as the day went on. I actually think it gave him confidence because it allowed him to find new lines. It allowed him to really push that motorcycle and basically race a race without worrying about Jet Lawrence. Because anything, if he would have stayed up, everything would have been based off of, well, you didn't beat Jet Lawrence. Well, yeah, you might have rode good, but you still didn't beat Jet Lawrence. Since he went down, Jet Lawrence is kind of out of the way. It put Chase in, well, dude, you rode good. And if you would have had a start, you might have had a chance to beat him. Well, this is where my bike is good. This is where it's not. So I think it actually helped Chase out a lot. And we get into the second moto, and you can see the differences of the way he was riding then compared to even the way he was riding last year. So, yeah, Chase went down that first moto. But overall, I actually think Chase rode pretty good, which brings you into what happened at second moto.
Sexton got through. Here comes Jet challenging his brother to the top of that jump. Jason Thomas was talking about how much time you can gain early. He looks over, throws it sideways, and has the lead.
Second moto, the gate drops. Boom, both Honda boys out front. Honda has figured out the traction starts with these guys. And you got to know if you're Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence. I mean, you go into the gate and if you just feel confidence off start that you're going to get a good start. And the difference between Supercross and Motocross, like, there is more, the consistency of being able to get a good start every race is a lot easier outside than it is in Supercross. Because Supercross, yeah, the reaction, if you don't get the best reaction, then you're like beat no matter what the bike is. Like, if you don't get a reaction because it's so short, you're done. Well, Motocross, the likelihood of you not getting a good reaction and then being able to still come out of front, if the bike's in a pretty good area and they have the starts figured out, is where they are. And that's why I think even with Jet Lawrence, like, he always had good starts. And just the confidence going to the gate, knowing that, puts you in a good spot. So it's really mental, but it's also like the teams really help the riders, especially outside, to be more consistent. And the Honda has figured that part out. because both motos, Hunter Lawrence was out, gone. Jet Lawrence was, I would say second best Lawrence in there. Jet got the first hole shot because Hunter went so deep in the corner, but the second motor, they both was there. And then Chase got a better start that second one. Then Filthy Phil gets in there. He starts banging around. He was doing his thing up there. I thought he wanted to end the streak. And he got to a point to where, Jet was, he was in front of him. And then Hunter got by him. And Phil, I would say he didn't do Chase no favors, especially with him. Like, he was in there and I thought he was going to let Chase go by. And you could tell Chase was starting to get mad. And I was like, man, dude's getting to the point where he might get a little 50 with Phil, but Phil ended up, he got by him. And then it was funny to watch Phil's reaction in those same lines. He didn't necessarily cut, Anderson off and then Barcia and then Malcolm. I was joking around on the broadcast. I'm like, well, dude, he had three of the guys that would make you make business decisions coming up right after he got past Chase. And Filthy was like, look, I'm here. All right. I'm just playing. Let him go. But Filthy, he was doing this thing. But anyways, the race was on. You had 1, 2, and 3. And Jet was starting to get away. And then Hunter made his way up. Hunter started finding his form. Chase was coming up on Hunter. And they made their way up to Jet. And at one point, the reason I said I liked the Hunter and the way he looked in practice and he looked good, the way his body position was, like, he just looked more relaxed, comfortable, and very patient. Just like his brother, very patient. But Hunter has, his riding style is still different than Jet's. Hunter can, he can still ride American-ish, I would say, where he attacks stuff. But then he's also very patient. And to me, when I looked at Hunter all day, he looked more comfortable than Jet did, even though Jet was actually faster in the second practice. And I think all that came down to is Jet has been here before. It's not Jet's first race. And Hunter even said it on the podium that he was like, look, I was just uncomfortable. The second moto, these guys got going and it's my first race. I just ended up getting third. That's the point where I said Hunter looked good because he is his first race. He's just not going to take the chance. But nonetheless, he looked pretty good and Chase looked pretty good. And Hunter's in a weird spot, people, because I think if the streak was over, then he'd at least probably pass his brother, because at some points of that race, he was faster. Like, he was faster. Jet was holding him up. And I think if Hunter wanted to be more aggressive, run it in, then he probably would have actually got around him. Or even if Chase wasn't there, maybe he would end up getting around him and they would figure it out. But since this streak is alive, like, how do you kind of end the streak on your brother? At some point, the streak's going to end. I don't think Hunter wants to be that guy that ends that streak, to be honest with you. I think if Chase would have beat him, then he probably would have got around him. But nonetheless, it seemed like Hunter would catch Jet, and he could pass him, but he was kind of being timid. And then you had Chase Sexton was right there, and then he ends up passing Hunter. I think the biggest thing when you look at Hunter, and the reason I say he feels more comfortable, is because the way he was in Supercross, to me, it was like he was never going to take that chance. At no point I thought, like, damn, like, he actually could go faster. Like, he looks like he wants to win the race. Hunter always wants to win. But I guess the difference is it just looked like he could go faster, and he was running a solid pace up front. And at the first practice, like, he was right there. He was the top on the, he was leading on top for a while until Chase got him. But Hunter looked like he was real comfortable going that fast, and that he could go faster once he wanted, like he wanted to, knowing Hunter and knowing that it was his first race, knowing how the Supercross is and knowing kind of how his career has, like, it takes him a while to warm up. He was going that fast, looking that good and comfortable in the beginning. That's where I was like, damn, like, dude, he's actually a lot better than I think people is going to give it to him. Like, he actually can go a lot faster, because I could tell the difference. It looked like he wasn't even trying and he was on the same speed as his brother. So going in that second moto, when he caught Jet, it looked the same way. Like, it looked like it was real easy for him, and I could tell Jet wasn't that comfortable on the track. Like, he was out front, but his bike set up or something, like, he might have changed something in the beginning. It just looked like Jet was more on the edge of not being comfortable compared to what I've seen him last year, compared to, like, Hunter. they both was making mistakes because they all was going at a pretty good pace. But to me, Hunter had that raciness about him where it seemed like Jet was more holding on more than anything else. Now, again, as I was talking, I think if the streak was over, then he probably at least passed him because he probably could have. But the thing is with Hunter, it is his first race. And then he had Chase. Chase was starting to get agitated behind him. And then Chase started coming up and he actually made a great pass where you can see it being set up. And this is where I go back to that first moto with Chase. Because he got a bad start, because he had to make passes on people, I think Chase was more comfortable going all over the track and he figured out more lines. For instance, Hunter had that great line before the finish line. Chase, because he was in the back of the pack, because he had to switch up lines, he was okay with trying that line, and then he did it, and it was way faster, where Jet was out front, and it's like anything. Like, dude, if I'm the fastest, why should I switch up anything? Jet kept going down the inside, and Chase would end up passing him, but he just never got close. But my point is, Jet was in a spot to where everything, he's already fastest, and he won the race. And it's harder when you're in that spot to switch up lines. Well, Chase had to do that. Well, Chase ended up making a pass on Hunter Lawrence, a nice aggressive pass. And that's what I liked to see. That's when I knew dude was different, because the pass that he made was a guy that he knew he wanted to get up front. He was comfortable. And as good as Hunter Lawrence looked, Chase looked better and Chase wanted to get around him. Now, Chase's issue to me was, and I talked about this on the broadcast, Chase had a problem with acceleration coming out of the corners. Like the spot that he actually ended up passing Hunter Lawrence, once you go into that next corner, that 180, if you look at him every lap, basically coming out of that corner, going up to that next jump where Jet was getting over that tabletop, if you look at him and you look at Hunter or you look at Jet especially, Chase was getting left in that spot. Like he was coming out, and you could tell, like, he was on the gas. He was trying to get back, and he was having a hard time even getting to that top of that jump where Jet was able to get over it. But every lap, Chase, that segment was like 15 seconds. It was from where Chase actually passed Hunter, and then you get over to that tabletop. It was 15 seconds. Well, when you look at the segment times, Chase was losing almost anywhere from a half second to a second each lap in that spot. Only part of the racetrack Chase was losing. Every other segment, Chase Sexton was the fastest guy in each segment. But that particular one, he was losing so much time, and you can see it. You can see him coming out of the corner. He's getting back. It looked like he was pulling on the motorcycle to try to get it up. The back end looked low. It looked dead. And to try to even get over that jump, he couldn't even do that. Where you saw Jet, his back end was up. His bike looked like it was sitting on top of the racetrack. Like the soil, if it was super deep, Jet's bike was sitting on top and going through it. Where Chase's motorcycle looked like it was dug down into it. Like you could tell how rough the track was, how deep it was. And the difference was, like, he was just going, Jet was sitting on top, moving forward. Chase was sitting down deep and he's pulling himself, trying to get this thing going. And it was killing him to that point to where he was losing a second right there. And it's not just that part of the racetrack. Because he was struggling coming out of that corner, it was other parts, even going on the back of the far end of the racetrack, where I brought down in the Yamaha track map, where you had that 180 going up the hill. You can see Chase coming out of the corner and just struggling trying to get up the hill. Now, I think with them, I'll be honest, when I look at those two, that's the reason Chase lost the race. Like, I know his bike was a big reason why he ended up losing the race. I mean, it was that big a difference. And this ain't a knock on KTM or anything, like, not at all. It was just that blatant to where that's one area that they're going to have to figure out. And because he was struggling so much as a rider, I know other areas that acceleration that he would end up having to do the same thing. Even like when he went off the track, it's kind of the same issue that he was having in Supercross. Mid-corner, thing wants to stand up. Goes off the racetrack, going down the hills, like everything's fine. Chase is okay going down the hills as long as like he has a little bit of more stroke in that shock. But if he charges down the hill all the way, hits a big braking bump, if you notice when Chase gets in some of these corners, like his whole bike picks up and it lifts up to the outside. Well, that's the same issue that he would have going in out of acceleration. Bike comes down, on the gas, super low, hitting every single bump. And the difference between Jet's bike and Chase, when they're accelerating, Jet's bike, if you look at the rear fender, fender's here, tire's here. Jet's bike tire goes like this. Fender stays the same. Jet's tire is going like this. Now, when you look at Chase's, Chase's fender and his tire is, they're lifting up together. They're doing this. So coming out of the corners, Jet's bike's going and it's working like this. The wheels fall on the ground where Chase's bike is hitting those same bumps and it's lifting up. So as it's lifting up, what does that mean? It's not on the, it's not on the ground driving forward. So for him, he's losing all that time going out of the corners. It's not driving forward. Jet's bike's driving forward. And over time as a racer, one, that wears you out. But anytime you would end up making a mistake, Chase has to deal with that. He makes a mistake in a corner going up a hill. The bike's going to do the same thing. It's not driving forward. So that part of the racetrack, to be able to lose that much time in 15 seconds is a lot. The reason why Chase didn't lose the time everywhere else, because all the other sections were longer. Chase was going down the hills faster. Chase, if he didn't make the mistake, like, and didn't have that issue, like, he was faster everywhere else around the racetrack, except for that one part on the track to where it really was just bike setup. He couldn't do anything about it. The only way Chase would have been able to figure that out is by going outside and eliminating to going into the inside and having that bike work that low. So when I go back to him, like, yeah, I think Chase lost the race because of that spot. Well, if you're saying that you're the fastest on the whole racetrack, you're fast in each segment, that one segment, you're losing a full second. Well, that's kind of your race right there. The problem is for Chase, and this is where he was struggling with, is that he would lose so much time there. It was always, it was upsetting him. So if he's losing time there, he's got to make it up some other way. He's got to make it up. So he starts pushing it, going into the corners. And yeah, maybe 5 out of 10 laps, it's okay. Maybe 7 out of 10, it's okay. But those other three, he makes a mistake, then he puts himself back in the same spot. So I think Chase Sexton and KTM is definitely going to have to work on that, because I would say when you're looking at the KTM and got a little bit of info, the KTM acceleration is not the fastest out of most of those motorcycles. It's kind of lazy. So if the things are already lazy off the bottom and then you're having issues of traction coming out of a corner, well, that's two negatives. And that's why that one particular area is so blatant. If the bike was faster, then it would almost put a Band-Aid on there so it wouldn't be so obvious. So I think with KTM, I don't know if it's, if they can make the motorcycle faster, then I don't think necessarily they would have to change too much on the suspension to get it out. If they don't, then they're going to have to work on the suspension to get that thing to have more traction, because the way going into Hangtown, going in these other tracks, that area is going to become a problem. And as the races go on, and they get deeper, because Paulo wasn't that rough, they get deeper and deeper, it's going to be more of an issue. If you remember me talking a couple of years ago, even with Ryan Dungey, I was like, dude, it looks like he's carrying an anchor around the racetrack. Well, it's kind of like the same thing. So overall, I think what KTM's done, they've taken Chase and they made him more of a solid rider. Like the whole team, the bike fits to the point to where when I visually look at Chase, he looks like he's more in control. Looks like a better rider. So KTM is giving props for doing that. When you're racing against a guy who's so good and Jet Lawrence, so talented, and then you're racing against a team that has figured it out, don't be underestimated. That Honda's damn good. Like, that Honda is better than every other bike on the racetrack. Like, it's clear. So when you got a generational talent like Jet Lawrence, a team that has everything figured out, it makes those areas to where, like, you have no choice but to figure it out. And if your bike's not as good in certain areas, it stands out. And I think it makes it difficult. Chase, KTM, they'll figure it out. But Jet Lawrence and Honda, they have, and they'll continue to get better. So was everybody else. And I think that's why he is so hard to beat. And Chase and KTM is going to have to do it and figure it out himself. Now, outside of those three guys, Hunter Lawrence, Jet Lawrence, Chase Sexton, I thought everybody else in the field did pretty much what I expected him to do. Jason Anderson, he rode pretty good that second moto. He went down on the first moto. Aaron Plessinger, for coming back from the injury, like, he rode pretty good that first moto. He was able to end up third place the first moto. And then the second moto, he went down in the first corner. So it kind of threw him out. to be honest, the biggest surprise and the one person I was stoked to see was my brother. Like, considering that Malcolm hasn't really been, he hasn't started an outdoor season in how many years. And, you know, he didn't have the best of Supercross season. You know, they're kind of struggling with the bike. You know, you see his teammate. There was a lot of, I don't think they were too stoked on a motorcycle. You would just think that coming in outdoors, like if you're struggling on bike setup in Supercross, then outdoors is going to be more. So to see what he was able to do, and especially that second moto, like I think for me, he was the biggest like winner outside of the top three, just because I know where he is and know where, you know, the feeling coming in. So Malcolm rode really good. I thought he fight with Barsha, I think he will be a top five guy, and hopefully towards the end he can be up on the podiums, because he was, I would say you put him, Plessinger, Anderson, they're all running the same after a while, like after that first race. After the first race, I would put them in the same box. So good job for Malcolm. Even though 7-8 equals 9, yeah, he was there, and then he ended up passing Barsha. Then I think he fell or stalled it last lap, but Malcolm rode good. Justin Cooper rode good as well. Like, I thought for him, he was battling with Welton for a while. And we were talking about we had the battle box going on. And then it was like Welton again. And Welton was good. So shout out to Welton, because he was holding Jay Coop off. And then at the end, Justin started coming up. But everyone else, they did their good job. We'll see how the season goes for them. I don't know. They're definitely a step below the top three. There's clearly a gap between all those guys. But eventually AP and then Anderson, hopefully my brother and Jay Cooper get in there and start doing what Filthy Phil was doing. Maybe not, you know, you might not beat him at the end, but you could be up there getting in the way for a minute. So they all rode pretty good. And we talked about Chase a little bit, and we talked about his bike setup, and we talked about Hunter, and Hunter looked good. And I thought he looked better than his brother in certain parts of racetrack and all that. But, you know, it didn't matter, did it? It really didn't matter. Because I can say a lot of things of what I think, but what I know is that this dude has won. He started in this thing streaking 22 times. Then he streaked again, 23. And now he's 24-0. 24-0, people. Like, that dude's been running naked this whole time. Mama, yes, he is naked. He is streaking. And he's streaking. And I don't know, like, as good as those guys are, they're still not as good as he is. And he's only going to get better. And that's my boy, Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence is doing something that we ain't never seen. Yeah, we've seen people go 24-0. I did it. And I actually think I won 32 in a row at one point. But hey, I ain't going to say anything like that. I did win 30, something like, it was like 30. We don't count all that. But what this kid's doing for reals, people, is special. And he's doing it in a bunch of different ways. Even though it looks exactly the same, he does it in different ways. And what he's going to continue to do, he's got 20, I don't think we do neck burns every moto, so we just have to do it. This is 12th win in a row, 11th win in a row. Whatever it is, Cole, 12, 4, whatever. It just equals 24-0. And that's Jet Lawrence doing his thing. And the kids, it's probably going to continue until somebody else obviously stops that. I think they are a lot closer than they were last year. I think Chase is in a better spot. I think Hunter is in a better spot because he wasn't in this spot last year. But until they go do it, he's going to get another one of these and hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Now, I said last year, Eli was getting black. He was winning all these things. Now, you like Ethiopian, you just black. Like, the only time you turn off the lights, you just have to smile. That's the only way I can see lights. Your teeth are white enough. Jet Lawrence, dominant. And as good as everyone else was, I know you wasn't feeling as your best. That's scary. So Jet Lawrence, for real, dude, congratulations. Streaks on. Yeah, you tied me. Whatever, dude, whatever. And you're going to beat me. I don't care, because I know that's where your streak ends at. You keep talking about this golf stuff. And if you want to stay positive, you don't want to go up against your boy JS. But seriously, dude, congrats, kid. Looking good. All right, people, 250 class. Now, coming in this year, we were looking forward to it. We said it was wide open. Like, wide open. Keys of the race. Door wide open. Kick that bitch in. That's what my keys was. Step up. Well, they did step up. We stepped up into the danger zone. Hayden Deegan.
I'm just put a lot of work. I'm done with people talking shit. Sorry for my language, but it's true.
Now, I think he was most people's pick to win this title. Like, out of all the guys, we were like, all right, he should do it. Why? Because he had a baby last year. Had a baby. Hayden Deegan was, yeah, Hunter Lawrence was great. Hunter Lawrence won championship. Justin Cooper had his moments. Levi had his moments. But when Hayden had his moments, it was a moment you remembered. That was the difference. So coming in this year, Hayden didn't have the best of Supercross season. Like, he had a good one. In hindsight, yeah, like, he had a decent Supercross season. He won the last race. But we respect him more. Well, we got more this first race. Hayden Deegan showed up, and he showed out. Now, yes, Levi, the kitchen was right there. And I think Tom Vial's following too. Like, he knew. I think Tom's obviously going to get stronger. He actually said he was going to get stronger. But this race was more of a statement on who was going to be that next guy. And Hayden really stepped up and said he was going to be that next guy. Like, literally, he said he was going to be that next guy. And I think out of all the people, the guy that probably needed to win was the guy that ended up winning. Like, Hayden Deegan won, and we were like, okay, that's what we thought. If he would have came in and let's say Levi would have beat him or Tom Vial would have beat him, it would have been a problem for Hayden because, yeah, it is his home track. Yeah, I think he does feel pretty good coming into this, and he is the guy that's supposed to do it. So if he doesn't win, it would be like, what happened? I think if Tom Vial didn't win, we'd be like, all right, well, kind of what we are. All right, he ended up third or something like that. He was solid. Like, he said he's going to get better. Levi's usually the guy that wins like 11, then he'll win one moto. I think Levi looked fine to me for him to be able to have two solid motos, which I don't think he's had in his whole career. Two solid motos on the podium. That was a first. But yeah, he's not consistent. We don't really know. Maybe he's a Supercross guy. So he didn't win. Okay. But Hayden Deegan didn't win. We would have had questions. Well, Hayden Deegan showed up and he showed out. Him and Levi, they went at it the first moto and it was good. One thing I want to point out about Hayden, and this is the difference that I feel like this year than last year. And if you look at his riding style, that first moto said everything you needed to know about dude. Like he knew. As that race went on, you can watch Hayden figure out, you know what? Like, I'm better than these guys. I'm better. Because if you watch him ride, he was relaxed. The fact that he kept running off the racetrack and made mistakes and was losing that time to Levi was the whole point. He lost that time to Levi, and then he would just catch him. And then he would lose another time to Levi, and then he would just catch him. And then eventually, all right, it's time to go past Levi. And then he just blitzed. Like, he charged that lap. He broke him, and that was it. Yeah, Levi got that Acerbis, which Levi got some issue with boots. He'd get some weird things stuck in there. But Hayden was going to win that race anyway, but to me, Hayden's riding in a spot to where it is dangerous because if he feels like he's that much better, and this weekend he looked that much better, he looked more in control, he's waiting around. Like, there's no pressure on Hayden because he knew, well, eventually I'm going to get him. His mechanic put on a pit board that he's going to get tired, and I'm going to change subjects a little bit, but this is where riding with your competition becomes an issue. This is where your friends and y'all hang out and y'all play Xbox becomes an issue. And I'm not going to be that old guy. Be like, oh, man, I miss the old days because I don't really care. But this is why I said, well, that would be an issue because Hayden does know and everybody knows each other so well. The fact is, Hayden would actually think and actually say, I know he's going to get tired.
I was behind Levi. I know Levi, man. I've trained with him for years. I know it. Even though he made a mistake, I knew eventually he'd start fading a little, so I was going to like get him at the end.
And if you watch the way Hayden rode that second moto, he rode knowing that he knows the guy behind him. For instance, first lap, he went on the insides, a couple of insides, the main lines, and he almost went down. Hayden was like, nah, I'm going to go outside, which I know it's slower, but I'm going outside because I'm not worried about this dude on the inside of me. And if you watch the second moto, he would pull away from Levi and they were getting spots and Levi would be right there. And then he would pull away and then Levi would be right there, all like within one lapse. And to me, Hayden was taking the reason he was going outside was he was taking the risk out. He knew it was slower, but he knows even if somehow Levi passed him, he feels like by the end of the race, he's going to end up getting him because he knows what Levi's going to do. He knows he doesn't believe that Levi can run that pace the whole moto. That's why he said it. So Hayden was going outside, taking the risk out, letting his track dry out, and then he's going to go back down the main line. Yeah. Okay, Jay. Well, whatever. No. You're not going to gloss over this point. The reason he was doing that is because he's confident and he knows that he's better than everybody else. And he feels like the reason he is because mentally he is like, I would say mentally he was not disrespectful because I know he's got respect for all these guys, but he's mentally disrespecting them. Like he's mentally saying, dude, gonna get tired. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about you. I'm gonna go outside. And yeah, you're gonna catch me, but I'm not worried about you. Because if you watch the way Hayden rode that second moto, he was really calm, really calm. Now, backing up a little bit, the reason he felt that way is because what he did the first moto about going off the track and catching Levi and the way he won that race showed him that he does have the pace. And then at the end of the race, he put down that heater and Levi couldn't catch up. So everything that he thought was happening, everything he thought he knew actually turned out that way. So he has the confidence going into that. And he rode the second moto. Hayden rode the second moto, no risk, not taking any chances. Okay, that line doesn't work. I'm going to go outside. And I know at the end of the day, I'm going to win because I'm the strongest. They know I'm the strongest. And if they don't know it, I'm going to let them know that I'm the strongest. And he rides. Now, if Hayden rides like that, these guys are going to lose. They're going to lose because Hayden is just as talented as all these other guys out there. He's on a great team. Like Mitch Payton's got a great team. KTM's a great team. So let's just say they're all equal. But the difference is, I think Hayden's mind is stronger. Like Hayden does have a different mind. It can go good for him or it can go negative. Like it can go either way. So a guy that has really emotional bound, like if he starts feeling emotionally good, then he's hell to beat with. The only thing is, if he goes the other way, then it's the other way. Well, Hayden is riding in the sense of, okay, coming into season, I'm supposed to be the guy. I came in, I'm supposed to be the guy. I am the guy. And as he's riding that second moto, he's riding that second moto just waiting for Levi. He's waiting for Levi. So as Levi is probably saying, okay, I don't know if I can go that pace the whole time or whatever he was thinking, I'm going to attack him at the end and try to get to him. Problem was, Hayden was waiting for him to attack him at the end. Hayden was jumping jumps. He was standing up. He was real relaxed. Hayden rode the second moto just waiting for Levi to come up and do what he was going to do. Then he was going to go faster. I actually think Levi said it on the podium that he was like, look, I don't know if I could run that pace. If I went faster, he would just go faster. Bingo. That's what dude was doing. And all that was caused because the way that first moto went and what he's saying is he's saying and making what he's saying in the truth. Now, Hayden's got a couple issues here, and I wouldn't even say some of them is probably not even his fault. What ended up happening with the AMA and Tom Vial, which I'll break it down in a second, that actually ends up hurting Hayden because he ends up getting a different result. Nothing to do with Hayden. Hayden didn't make him run off the racetrack, but AMA has their thing. But then Hayden somehow ends up. So people are like, oh, man, like that kind of sucks. Oh, he has this, you know, people are like, oh, man, he gets this fair treatment, you know, unfairly. Then he had the Cody Shock stuff. People, they just started getting over that. Like he humbled himself. He kind of realized, he calmed down. I said, dude, you can't act that way if the results aren't saying what they have to. If you ain't winning, you can't say all those things. Well, he figured that part out. They start liking him. Get through Salt Lake. Cool, whatever. Then he comes in and he says, like, you know, what he says about Levi. Some people are like, some people don't like that. Some people like that. My whole point is, it's Hayden's not actually meaning this towards the fans. And I don't think he's trying to be the cocky little dude and the cocky dude saying all this and blah, 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 and talking down. Just as guys train, just as guys put on new suspension, just as guys, you know, switch things up, there's a mental side of this thing that guys do as well. And if you are that mental guy, just like what we talk about, what makes Cooper Webb, Cooper Webb, Hayden does have a big part of that. And Hayden speaking to this competition, and he would say what he said about Levi getting tired and what he said about Justin Cooper last year, like, oh, I wanted to break him. I don't think he's meaning that as a disrespect to any of those guys. But what he's meaning it as, he wants to let them know that he knows that he has them, which is the same way that if you put on a new set of forks that's going to make you better, that's what you're going to do. There's a mental side of that. Hayden's put on a new set of forks when he talks about, I know he's going to get tired. I want to break him. He wants those guys to think that he's so strong mentally, and that's what he believes, that that's what's going to happen. I don't have a problem with that. So when people look at it as like, man, he's disrespecting the guys. He's talking down onto them. I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he's saying what he actually believes, and he wants those guys to believe what he's saying is the way it's going to go down. It's another way of a mental battle to be like, look, this is what it is. Like, I'm the guy. Don't even try to come up in here and try to do it. Like, don't even try to come up here and mess with me, because I'm telling you right now, I'm not the guy. And the issue is that people might not understand that side of the thing. Like, the mental side is a little bit different. You got to kind of be in the game to kind of know. And what you say, past history, people might see it as like, oh, he's just being disrespectful, cocky, or whatnot. And part of that reason is because what ends up happening with Tom Beal and Hayden with the AMA. Now, I don't think neither one of them should have been penalized. It's a hard spot to be in, because if the rule's the rule, if it's a school zone and you're doing 26 and there's 25 in the school zone, you're doing 26, you're speeding. That's the rule. You get pulled over, you get a ticket. That's the way they're going to go about it. Then both of them should be treated. Hey, if you think he was on the gas, no matter what it is, then he should be penalized. And the same thing with Tom Beal. Tom went off the racetrack. He was on the gas, gets back on. No harm, no foul. He lost time to Levi. I mean, there was nobody around him. He got penalized. And I talked to Mike from the AMA about it as well. And then the Deegan thing happens to be the same thing. Now, I think when Hayden went off the racetrack, the only reason he gets back on the gas, because he ends up jumping that tabletop. You could say, well, he was on the gas, just like Tom. He was on the gas. Now, I don't know what ended up happening to Hayden. Like, I know they were going to do something. I don't know what they end up doing. But the fact is, with Tom Beal, it was clear cut. I even asked Mike, I'm like, were you guys even on the line? They were like, nope. Well, then it kind of should be the same way. The problem is, for Hayden, not his fault at all, is that people are going to start saying, well, they're treating him differently, even though Hayden doesn't have anything to do with that. They're treating him differently so they can turn on him. And in his comments, it just ends up going down and it's just like a negative. They start reading his comments and they're like, see, he acts like he's entitled. You know, the AMA is not even doing the same thing, all these things. And Hayden's just trying to go out and race. So my point is, what he's saying is he's saying this for racing. He's saying this to Levi. He's saying this just as if he was getting a new trainer. He wants everybody to know he's got a new trainer because now he's in shape. He's using this the same way I used to do it. When I used to say the same thing as Hayden. Like, when I figured out that I was going to win and I figured out that, you know what, I think I'm better than these guys, I used to say stuff like that as well. I used to say it. So I don't have a problem with Hayden saying what he says. And that's why I feel like I know what he's trying to say. I was not trying to disrespect Mike Brown or any of those guys. I was saying that just to let them know, like, mentally, I'm here. Like, you're not going to, I'm here. I believe Hayden saying that the same way. And again, my circumstances, when I jumped on Ricky's ass back in the day, it seemed like I had to realize that everything I was saying is getting used because I did land on him. And then now I'm saying this and people are starting to go back and forth. Well, same thing with Hayden. This AMA situation is kind of making them look like, if they're upset about Tom doing it and not him not getting it, then what he says on a podium, they start looking at it the same way. But nonetheless, what Hayden's doing was impressive. What Levi, I think Levi is in a great spot. I think Levi wrote great. I think Tom Beal did exactly what Tom Beal should have done. I don't think he's any less confident that he was coming into the race. And I think he's still going to be a championship threat. So when you look at a 250 class, even though Hayden's dominant, if he was racing Levi the whole time, then I would say, because they do ride together and they know each other, it might be a little bit more in favor with Hayden. Fact is that there's more guys out there, and I think Levi probably won't like those comments, and he's going to try to have to change that. So the 250 class is still wide open, even though this dude right here is going to get what he needs to get. He thought he was going to get it. People picked him to get it. I thought he was going to be really good. I thought Levi was going to be good. I thought everybody was going to be good. But at the end of the day, this guy was just better. And he went 1-1. Second time in his career, he went 1-1. Last time he did it, his last time he did it, he had a baby in Washougal. He didn't have a baby today. We kind of knew she was pregnant. But he came out, and he's going to get what for him, Cole? Please hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
Yes, it was on fire. Hey, them comments was on fire. Them comments, yeah, like that. Good job, kid. It's impressive. It's impressive, not because you're fast, but because of all the other intangibles that deal with it. This kid is pretty damn good. Yes, he is. And G League Swole. Hey, shout out. You, Triumph. Y'all was solid. I'm going to give a shout out to, what's the kid's name? Can't even think of the kid's name because he hasn't been racing. Joey Sabachi. I think Joey Sabachi rode pretty good. He's got more wins in this class than anyone. So, Joey Sabachi real good, but seriously, Jalik, good for you, kid. Tom Bia, y'all straight. Everybody else, Joe Shimoda, he didn't get off the gate, but he was solid. He was cool. Everybody else, they was solid. Chance Hymus looking good. He must have heard my comment when I said, hey, what you doing? Well, he showed up. He looked pretty good. So 250 class is going to be pretty good. Can't wait to go to next weekend. But we're going back to my favorite time now, and that is Stews and Stew. No, it's not. It is Q's with Stews. Let's get it, Cole. And before we do that, we got to go to commercial. And then we'll be back with all that other stuff. So we'll be right back. It's summertime. You know what that means? No, it doesn't mean the beach. It doesn't mean the fun time. Well, maybe for some it might mean. But for me, what it means is school is out. The kids are in full time. Not a lot of time to prep, but that's okay. There's no excuses for this summer. No time, no problem. Factor's Meals got us covered and meals ready less than 2 minutes. Never frozen, chef crafted, meals ready to go for you. Start the day off right with some pancakes. Hit your lunch in that keto diet and end the night with a fig mignon. That's filet mignon for a lot of people. That's how I like to say it. Factor Meals got us covered with all different types of options with 60 different add-ons and everything else in the middle. So there's no excuses, people. Summertime's here. Kids are here. Factor Meals can still get your goals done. So head to factormeals.com/bubblesworld50 and use promo code bubblesworld50 for 50% off your first box and 20% off your next one. That's factormeals.com/bubblesworld50 for 50% off your first one and 20% off your next one. Go, people. It's summertime. No excuses. Get them goals right. Factormeals.com. All right, guys, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Q's with Stews. Let's get into it, Cole.
So Sam Baker asks, was Jet being pushed to the end and played it off as uncomfortable to his competition for the mind games, or was he just not entirely feeling it on the bike?
What up, Sam? Sam, right? Sam Ham? Yep. Sam Eggs and Ham? No, anyways. What's up, Sam? Yeah, good question. I actually think Jet was probably a little bit of both. I don't think he was playing it off. He was uncomfortable. He looked uncomfortable, but I also think he knew the guys rode pretty good. I didn't hear as if he was saying, "Oh, I'm just uncomfortable because they were that close as a mind game." I think he was saying that, look, he was uncomfortable. He also knew they were pretty good, so I didn't read too much into it. And we'll find out this weekend. I think he knows that Chase was riding pretty good, but Chase rode good last year and he was able to win all those races. So I don't think Jet's worried. I think we'll find out how everything else is going to play out in a couple of weeks, but great question.
Brando asks, was there ever a rider when you were active who you genuinely felt was going to contend or worried that didn't pan out?
Yeah, pretty much everyone I raced against. Brando, like, it didn't matter who I lined up. I thought they were going to be better than they end up were or as good as they were. I mean, yeah, of course, you got guys that you just knew. And there were some guys that I didn't even think about that was better, didn't even have a plan for, a.k.a. like Ryan Dungey, 2010. Like, I didn't think he was going to be as good as he was. And then Anaheim, I was like, damn, he's pretty damn good. But I didn't go into the season thinking that he was going to be Ryan Dungey. Not that soon. But a guy like Davey Millsaps, I thought he was going to be better than he was when I first raced him. And then he was struggling a little bit, but then he obviously was good and got better and better. So yeah, there's always guys like that. But a real racer respects and thinks everyone that they're going to race against, no matter who it is, is going to be good. If I lined up on the gate with you, Brando, I would look at you as a threat. No matter how many times I beat you or you beat me, it's just the way it is. So I'm scared of everybody. That's what made me who I was.
Andrew Bouvier asks, does James look at how close Jet and Sexton are and get reminded of himself and RC in 06 and 07? If so, which one of those guys between Jet and Chase is Stu and which one is RC?
I actually don't look at those guys the same. I actually look at them as the new generation. They're different. I just appreciate them. You know, one thing, there's things that happen, and I'll talk about me and RC just as, you know, just our experience as a reference, not necessarily saying like, yeah, oh, me and RC, we used to do this, we used to do that. So, no, I don't look at them. I look at them, Chase Sexton and Jet Lawrence, like they are badass. So we could say which one of those guys we look like, really. Those guys are good. So, no, I just appreciate them doing what they do.
10 Point asks, is Deegan showing signs of maybe a beast mode junior? Does riding with veterans like Tomac and Webb mold Deegan into a motocross champion?
10 Point. Yeah, your own point. Yeah, he is a baby beast mode, baby junior, baby danger zone. I mean, you listen to him, he says what he says. I wouldn't say old school, but I think Hayden and his dad, Brian, they realize that he's in a good spot because the kid's good. The kid's good. The kid works. And a lot of this came from what we thought his dad was freestyle. We just thought he was going to be with all the hype, social media. Nobody really took him in as he was going to be this person. But, the kid is kind of old school in the sense of his mentality. You know, I don't really see Hayden, you know, out playing Xbox or riding with other people as much as we do. Like, for instance, as I say that, like, yeah, he's riding with Levi, but he probably rode with Levi because they were on the same team. He's riding with Eli. He's riding with other guys to learn and get better, not necessarily just riding with them because there's somebody to ride with. So I think Hayden's using those guys to learn and get better, and his mentality for whatever, however it came about, his mentality is kind of old school. And so I think everything that he does is a purpose, which means that if he's riding with somebody, there's a reason why he's doing it. He's trying to learn to get better, and him being outspoken, it's confidence. And so, yeah, I think he is baby junior Cooper Webb, beast mode, whatever. He's Hayden Deegan. They in the danger zone, and he'll let them know that they're there.
So T-Bolt USA asks, do you think Chase has what it takes to beat Jet straight up?
T-Bolt, do I think Chase has what it takes? Yes, I do. I do think he has the talent. I think he has a great team behind him to beat Jet straight up. I mean, even when I went 24-0, I was beatable. Now, is that guy on the gate? Can he do it? That's up to Chase, really. But yeah, he does have a team. He does have the talent. Jet would be probably the first person to say, like, yeah, he can be beat. It's going to take a lot to be beat. I think the difference is some guys can be beat when maybe Jet can win, maybe if he doesn't have his A game, you know. And I think the confidence allows him to be able to have a weekend like he was this weekend. Maybe he didn't feel the best, and maybe he was struggling on the motorcycle, but because he's won so much, because he's beaten those guys, he can mentally just get over it. Where I think Chase, when he does it the first time, he's going to have a day that he is just on point. Like, he's on point, Jet's off or whatever, he's just beats him. So you're asking me, can Chase beat him? Absolutely he can. Do I think he can? Do I think he will? Yeah, I mean, I think eventually he will lose. But it's going to take the best day of Chase's probably career for a while to do that. And then once he does it, then he can go back to normal. So yeah, that was a lot of jumble, all of this. But yeah, we all can be beatable. So it's just up to Chase to go out and do it. All right, people, as always, that was some great questions. As always, hopefully you enjoyed the answer. So that being said, you know what time it is. Your favorite time, my second favorite time, because that I just did my favorite time. It is Stews and Stews. All right, people, going to keep this short, simple. Stew, better than everybody else. You can go in, you won 22 times in a row, and you streak in, and you continue to win, and everybody feels like they got a chance, but they really don't got a chance. And every time, like, you like get up close, you just make them believe that things are happening. It's like Fugazi. It's like the stock market. We pretend like we know what we happen, but hell, we have no idea what's happening. The world's coming to the end, but we're buying new property. That is a stew to me. And that's what your first one is. And that's Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence got these guys shook. They shook. They switching numbers. They switching teams. They switching everything. But the results stay the same. And that's Jet Lawrence because the dude is a stew. Maybe better than the stew. He is tied with stew. He is trying to go for 25 in a row to 26 in a row. And I don't know. I'm not going to say too much besides Jet. You know what you are. Everybody else know what you is. That my phone. That was not a stew. But you a stew. Jet Lawrence, you a stew. And my second stew is Danger Zone. Danger Zone. Even when you're speeding, you're not speeding. Even when you do things, you say, look, I'm out here riding. Yeah, it's hot. It's not that hot. Levi's got a chance. He invited me in his house. I was sitting in this refrigerator. I was sitting there eating his food. He tried opening my door. It was his kitchen, and I slammed it, and then I told him he was going to burn the food anyway, because I know it. I do. Hayden Deegan, you know what time it is. You came in, you thought all these other people, they were talking about Tom Fial, they were talking about everybody else. They were talking about you too, but the way you went out and you did it in the danger zone. So Hayden Deegan, you a stew. Why? Because all the reason I said, which I didn't really say any more reasons, I just said enough reason that you a stew. The best part about it is that you'll let them know you're a stew and you don't even care. Why? Because they're in the danger zone. Hayden Deegan, you a stew. And everybody else, y'all all stews. Chase Sexton, you rode pretty good. Like, you rode solid. You got to get in the suspension. You just got to go up. Like, you just got to get the wheel on the ground a little bit more. Wheels on the ground flag. You know, there you good. Hunter Lawrence, you rode good. Jason Anderson, you rode all right. You was cool. Aaron Plessinger, you was yee-haw. By the way, nice little piece in the thing. I felt like I want to go, hoorah! Like, hooray! No, what is it? Hoorah! Hoorah! Felt like I wanted to go out and, like, you know, enlist. Damn. I was like, damn, like, is that who it is? It was the president. I didn't know if I wanted to watch you ride or go sign up, vote for you for president. Aaron Plessinger, you were a guy. And the fever, it wasn't hot out there, but people are starting to get a little sick. It was too. Throat starting to hurt a little bit. Fever's coming on. So you were good. Ty Masterpool. Damn, bro. Like you hit the ground, but I'm going to give you a stew because you figured out how to ride the 250. It's different, really different. So nonetheless, everybody's stew, Levi's stew, everybody else. All right, my next list is stewed. Stewed, pissed off. Pissed off because what? There's no reason to be pissed off. So why are we talking about this? We're not. Is it confused? Nah, because I don't think we are confused. Chase know what happened. Hunter knew what happened. Jet knew what happened. Everybody else knew what happened. Maybe the AMA was confused because they were like, damn, I don't know if I like this rule or not. I don't know if I like this rule. But then it was like pretty clear of what the rule was. Anytime you speed, you get a ticket. Well, then it was like, well, maybe not. And then people were like, wait, he got suspended. And Tom Fial was like, well, oula bula shek, I was on the gas. He was on the gas. He wasn't on the gas that much. I don't know. So is it confused? Nope, I'm done with it. Nobody's accused. Nobody's confused, stew, pissed off, whatever it is. So I'm ending it the way I'm ending it. And that's the end of this segment. So till then, I'll see you guys next week. Or your boy will be there. Congratulations, Jet Lawrence. Congratulations, Danger Zone. Everybody else, look, when you go off the track, you better shut off the gas. Maybe cut the bike off. Maybe cut off. Maybe paddle a little bit. And then you get it going on. I don't know what the hell. Until then, bye.